Our featured Michigan writer this evening is Laura Gaziski, poet and novelist. I am Jane Arnold, your host for the interview portion of the Michigan Writers series. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
I'd like to start this conversation with questions about your novels. One reviewer said that Suspicious River was not your feel-good novel of the summer. Your prose is beautiful, poetic, startling in its images, but what you evoke is relentless bleakness. More than that, after reading Suspicious River, I feel an almost palpable presence of horror and death. How do you describe your novels? That is, what are they about? What do you intend that we take away?
Well, Suspicious River, I started writing in the same season and really the same time period that the novel takes place, which is end of September, mid-October in Michigan. And I really wanted to write, I think what I really wanted to write about was the season and the imagery of the mid and early and mid-autumn in our state, which is
bleak
and very dramatic, mm-hmm. and has a sense of foreboding about it. And well, I'm sure this must be the case in states other than Michigan, but I think the purple sky and the wind coming up and the leaves falling off the trees and knowing that they're going to be gone for a while suggested to me the character of Leela, who is maybe in pursuit of her own demise and who is on many levels is both obsessed with and terrified of her own death. And so I think for me there was no way around in the first couple of decisions I made, really in writing the first paragraph of the novel, the season the novel was set in, and then also the character who was going to be a prostitute. I didn't see really any, I felt to try to make it less bleak would have been somehow going against the impulse to write it in the first mm-hmm. place.
A little dishonest.
Yes, uh-huh, yeah. I think that I also, in Suspicious River, very much wanted to explore the natural world that has that has also very, very much been civilized in our neck of the woods here, and she seemed to me to be a character that would kind of come out of that. On the one hand, this wildness and the violence that she is victim of and also participates in, and I think that again, maybe I was less concerned with a kind of bleakness than I was in a time period and a place, which seemed to me to go hand in hand with both the plot, the story of Leela, and the place and time she was at.
Well, it certainly was beautifully conjured. It's poetic, almost surreal sometimes, mm-hmm. with the way you describe light and sounds and visual, the river. Your symbols, I kept thinking, especially in Suspicious River, I kept thinking about the swans and the river. The swans are sinister, and yet at the end, they're not. It's almost redemptive mm-hmm. at the end, where they come, they're there, they have insatiable appetites, and they raise their families, then all of a flight uh-huh. go away again.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did you intend for them to have this ambiguous, is that me?
No, I guess swans, the general public would think of swans as quite beautiful and lovely birds and nice to have around, so I guess There's no escaping the angelic qualities of swans and the kind of purity that they've always been associated with. I guess what I was interested in getting in there too is also, depending upon the perspective of the viewer, swans, in the case here being Leela, can have other and can stand for other things as well.
That's right. And that's what you have endowed it with. It's really beautiful. All women think about becoming our mothers. At least I think they do. And that is a very powerful driving narrative force in your novels. But when they're like Bonnie Murray, Leela's mother, the self-abusive prostitute, fatally attached to a violent man or dangerous man, ending up murdered, it provokes suffering and torturing. Are you saying that we emulate our mothers no matter what?
Well, I was hoping that in Suspicious River, more than an idea of emulation, there is the unconscious impulse maybe to relive our mother's lives for some daughters, and that in no way had Leela set out to emulate her mother with all the positive connotations of that word, but that instead, really almost beyond her control, without her own consent, she is following her mother's path, despite herself.
Unconsciously, because you have the flashbacks and the forwards, and it's very cleverly, I think, generated. This is true in the White Bird in a Blizzard as well, where she's, you have the bleak setting again. It's not Michigan, it's the Midwest, but it's always the winter when there's ice and cold. What is the future of the female protagonists in Suspicious River particularly, but also White Bird? What's going to happen to them?
After the novel?
Yes, after the novel.
Well, a lot of people have asked me at the end of Suspicious River whether the protagonist dies or not. And actually, a student of mine not too long ago disagreed with me. I had said that, well, I really hadn't seen her as dying. That her life was flashing before her eyes, and she had come to the end of something, but that I thought that there was... that there was the possibility of redemption for her, and he said no, that I was wrong, that he could find text to support himself that she had died. And well, of course, looking back at it, and again, I think that the implication is that she could be dying. But I don't know what happens to her at the end of that of the novel. I think.
You're not going to bring her back and write another novel?
No. I do think, though, that she's passed through whatever hell fires her mother laid on her trail, and that she will not be a prostitute, and she will not. If she does not die, she will be past that. Her mother didn't live through that season, but if she lives through this, she will be redeemed, I hope, in some way.
Your secondary characters are very interesting as well. Her husband, Rick, who is a very sweet, loving man, forgiving. And yet he is rejected. Has she passed through him as well?
I think that he has passed through her as well, that he's been in a less dramatic way, but that he's been grappling with some of the same issues that she is. His body, ownership of himself, his future, getting it, his trying to live past this place and this time and to be his own person. He loses weight through the novel and seems happy to do so, even though other people or Leela seems alarmed by the radical weight loss. But it's a way for him to claim his own destiny in the same way that she has done. And neither of them, in the most constructive way yet, but that it is the impulse is toward freedom and growth. And I think that he really is, he's the agent of action in that relationship at that point. He's the one who decides he can't be and won't be her caretaker, and he's the one who leaves. So,
well, both Rick and Kat Connor's boyfriend seemed to be reacting to parents, only to Kat and Leela, but also to the parents.
Right. Yeah. Both of them unable to really make decisions for themselves as adults or feel any kind of autonomy, very much acting as pawns in their parents' games.
Mm. What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on another novel and also writing some poems, but I'm working on another novel. This one's set in Michigan, but in the early part of the century.
Oh, how interesting. Can you tell us about it?
Well, I can. I have been for a long time very, very interested in the House of David, which was a cult that was on the west side of Michigan, Benton Harbor, Michigan, and really until maybe the 50s, but was at its heyday in the 20s. And my novel is set at the House of David and concerns the leader of the cult and some of the things that happened there.
Is this going to be a feel-good novel for the summer?
Well, I don't know if I have the feel-good novel of the summer in me. I don't know. When I feel good, I don't write.
You mentioned elsewhere that at one time you thought you couldn't write a novel, that it was too sustained and that your métier was poetry. And yet you did, brilliantly. Well, what happened?
Well, I guess I felt somewhat seized by the character and the situation of Leela in Suspicious River. And I had worked on a novel prior to that, which did not go anywhere. And thankfully for everyone in the bottom of the drawer of some lost desk now. But I don't know that it really, I mean, I'm sure anybody who thinks they can't do something and then does it, or probably anyone who, even if you, people who think they can write a novel and then sit down and do it, can't really tell you what exactly occurred, except that I felt very engaged with it. I felt that from the outset, to me, this seemed like the possible novel. And then I think once one does write a novel, the second one seems like a possibility from the very beginning.
Well, I am very happy. I enjoyed White Bird and the Blizzard very much. I am a mystery fan, and I took a lot of that, and I was applying that to the conversations, to the flashbacks and so on that went through, and it works that way too, very nicely. What do you read for pleasure?
Well, I read poetry a lot. I do read a lot of poetry. I pick up novels all the time, and just do a lot of searching through that new fiction shelf at the library and grabbing things that catch my eyes. I just recently read Snow Angels by Stuart O'Nan, and was very struck by that novel, and got his new one right now. I'm reading there's a new biography of Jung that I think is very interesting. I'm reading that, so I like to read biographies.
You must be very interested in psychology as well.
I am. I'm not very learned in the, but I like to. I enjoy some reading psychology. So.
Well, it appears that our time is up, and I want to thank you very much,
Laura
Siski.
Right. Thank you.